your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Good morning and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all areas of our lives. On this program, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on the show. We share the Word and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive the Word today and also give you eyes to see and ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We also have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, so you can just search that under Everyday Faith. And we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you no matter what you're going through, because the Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please don't turn the channel.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Hey, welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in with us this morning. On the program is my good friend Chris Poe. Chris is a local businessman in Charlottesville and a good friend of mine. And Chris, you have been a big influence in my life in terms of faith. We've done a lot of stuff together, and so I'm so delighted to have you on the show. Chris, what we do on this show is we like to hear about your faith journey, and we'd like to dig in on that. So could you just kind of take us wherever you want to go on that?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you. When you asked me that, I grew up down in Virginia Beach and in a pretty dysfunctional family. And although we did go to church occasionally, it wasn't anything I was terribly interested in. And I remember it being a complete struggle every Sunday morning. And when I was made to go, I was, you know, went very in a disgruntled manner. So, but I was really fortunate when I was in high school. There was this guy that would older person that wasn't affiliated with the school that he would come over and kind of became friends with a lot of the kids at the school. And I ended up learning that he ran a local a Christian high school nonprofit called Young Life. And I didn't go to that at all, just because I didn't know what it was, but I kind of thought it might be similar to church, and I knew I didn't, I wasn't into that. But over the course of my sophomore year, this guy just really befriended me, and I just was attracted to how he cared for me, and was really interested in who I was as a person. And so, yeah, gosh, the very last meeting of my sophomore year, I ended up going, and on a lark ended up going to a summer camp, and it was really at that camp for the first time I heard the gospel. Now, when I say I heard the gospel for the first time, it may have been preached a lot in the church that I went, but since I wasn't listening at all, it was the very first time that I heard it, and I just was really drawn in by the concept of there was this great big God who kind of knew me, loved me, cared for me, and really wasn't looking for anything back from it. And really, again, heard the story of Jesus for the first time. And, you know, it's hard not to be taken with that if you're listening with kind of new and fresh ears. And so, gosh, it was at that camp in 1980 that I committed my life to the Lord, and it has been a bumpy and uneven ride ever since.
You know, Chris, what's interesting is on this program, so I have the honor of hosting this program every single Sunday, and it's interesting when we hear about people's faith journeys, there's this quote that comes up again and again almost every single Sunday, and it starts like this: there was this guy, or there was this lady, or there were my parents. There was some influencer in terms of the faith decision. Could you go just a little bit deeper about that person and the impact that that had kind of on bringing you to Young Life and so forth? Is there anything else that we could flesh out about that?
Yeah. So I mentioned this older fellow that was actually on paid staff with Young Life. And as I said, I was really drawn in by him and by, you know, again, the way he treated people and really cared for people. But, you know, I would say, you know, for me anyway, probably the greatest or the greater growth was relationships that I built in the immediate aftermath of kind of asking Christ to come to my life. So it was, you know, the summer between my sophomore and junior in high school. And, you know, as I mentioned, I was growing up down in Virginia Beach, and there was lots of, you know, things to do and things that you can get involved in down there. But at this Young Life camp, there were a couple of guys that we all went and we all, you know, committed our lives to the Lord at that point. And I remember in the, you know, 2 months that we had left of summer break, and we all worked in restaurants. That's, you know, if you have a job down there, you're typically working in a restaurant. So every night after we got off work at around 11 o'clock, we would meet at this one guy's house, and we would invite anybody to come and teach us the Bible. I mean, if you had been a Christian like a month, we thought you were Billy Graham, right? And so I do remember one particular guy, Rob Crocker, who was just a wonderful, he was connected with Young Life, but he was in college at the time, so he was just a volunteer. But he showed up more nights than often and really just taught us the Bible. Mm. And so it was more than just learning. It was, you know, kind of reimagining what friendships were about within the Lord. Because, you know, in high school kids and you don't know the Lord, you know, you're just, I don't want to say that, you know, you don't have friends, but you don't have friends the way kind of God intended, you know, people to care for one another, bear each other's burdens. And so it was really those high school guys that I'm still, you know, close with today. And then, you know, as I mentioned, Rob Crocker, who was a big influence in my life early on.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we're talking with Chris Poe as our guest on the show today. And Chris, I love the story of your faith journey, and you know, high school tends to be such a crossroads for so many people. Would you be able to look back on that and be able to kind of point out tangible evidence of your conversion? Would you be able to say, well, you know, this was me then, and then this was me after I accepted Jesus? Were there two different Chrises?
Yeah, there was. I unfortunately had a lot of opportunities to kind of get better in my life back then, without going into a lot of painful detail on fear that my mother might listen to this. Yeah, you know, I was involved in lots of things that high school guys back then, you know, drugs and other things like that, and that, you know, I thought were fun, but... you know, once you kind of get a taste of who Christ is and what he can mean in your life, you look back on some of those things and realize, man, those weren't life-giving at all. And so I would say, you know, some of the tangible differences, you know, I don't want to just focus in on, you know, stopping drinking and doing drugs, but I would say even the more significant things is, you know, how do you treat women? Mm-hmm. You know, I already mentioned, you know, what does it mean to be a true brother in Christ mm-hmm. to another man? You know, you know, how do you derive your fun? Do you derive your fun at the expense of others, or mm-hmm. do you derive, you know, joy in the building up of others? Mm-hmm. So I would say those were some pretty, you know, for me, some pretty significant changes. And of course, I was young and stupid in the Lord mm-hmm. and just, you know, kind of walking blindly, but trying to put one foot in front of the other every day and, you know, probably wasn't doing a very good job, but I was at least in the game trying.
And we're talking with Chris Poe on Everyday Faith Radio. And Chris, we're headed to the break here in just a second, but could you take us kind of high school on and kind of, as we head to the break, kind of tell us about how you ended up back with Young Life?
Yeah, sure. So I throughout where I went to college, a small school not far from Hampton, Sydney College, it was a pretty rural area, so there wasn't Young Life there. But during the summers, I would come home and I would volunteer at one of their summer properties. And so I didn't plan on working for Young Life at all. And through a set of circumstances after I graduated from college, I was approached about, considering, coming on to work for Young Life for just a couple of years. And I wasn't immediately drawn to it. But, the more I thought about it, I thought, gosh, some of the people that I admire most in life are people that I've met through Young Life. And so I do think, sometimes who we are and become as people is much as anything about who we choose to spend time with mm-hmm. than almost anything else in life. And so I thought, gosh, even if this isn't something that I want to do for the rest of my life, what's the harm doing a job when you're around really fun, creative people who love the Lord? And so I ended up working with Young Life for 8 years. The last 2 years were here in Charlottesville from 93 to 95. Mm-hmm. I was the area director here, and really consider it one of the great privileges of my life to work for that organization, and would probably still be doing it. But, it is it's a little bit of a struggle raising a growing family on a nonprofit salary. So that might not have been the most spiritual reason that led me out of Young Life, but that led me into what I'm doing now.
And Young Life is pretty active now in Charlottesville. I would say my three younger kids in particular have been very impacted and still very involved in Young Life. My two boys who are rising fourth years at UVA both went to that Young Life camp. I think it was up in New York.
Yeah.
Was that,
mm-hmm.
And had a massive impact on them.
Yeah.
As well.
With there's lots of good ministries out there. The one thing that I think that really drew me to Young Life originally and helps me continue to still be a active supporter of Young Life is a couple of things. One, they really are good at majoring in the majors and minoring in the minors. Mm-hmm. In other words, it really is about Jesus. It's not about other kind of tangential social conservative issues, mm-hmm. Not to say that those are unimportant, mm-hmm. but they really try to emphasize who is the person of Jesus Christ and what, if any, role should he have in one's life today. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that, of course, I really enjoyed about Young Life was they just don't really take themselves very seriously. Mm-hmm. They take what they do and the mission very seriously, but there's a real genetic streak of humor and lightheartedness that attracted me. I'm not a guy that would be really attracted to something that's super somber and serious. And so it met me where I was. And of course, that's not for everybody, but it was certainly for me. And it sounds like maybe for some of your children as well.
Absolutely. Chris Poe, I'm glad to have you on the show. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back with more Everyday Faith Radio in just a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. With us on the program is my good friend Chris Poe. And Chris, our listeners have heard this story, but I'm going to share this. My mother, who is one of our wonderful listeners, tunes in every Sunday. I have a great mother. She's heard this story, but I can't even remember exactly when this was, but let's call it 2007. You and I were doing some volunteer work with the I Have a Dream Foundation. We also, you invited me to, I think I was kind of your adult Young Life patient. pretty good project.
Long term, and
you invited me to a couple Bible studies, and you know, everything was kind of good with me in the New Testament because I felt like I knew my way around the New Testament. And then, you know, we'd venture back into the Old Testament, and somebody said something about First Kings, somebody said something about Second Chronicles, somebody said something about Leviticus, and I was just lost. Okay, so I just really didn't have much working knowledge, particularly the Old Testament, but really not much working knowledge of the Bible at all. And so I could tell that since you recruited me to come to this Bible study, that you could kind of read a little bit of the frustration on my face. And so our listeners have heard this, but Chris, I'm saying this for you. You had a major impact on me because the next day we met, and you threw down the topical memory system. And you said, hey, Jeff, I didn't realize you'd already been through it several times, but you go, hey, Jeff, there's this program. I'd like you to join me on this program. It's called the topical memory system. We are going to memorize 60 Bible verses. We do one a week. I'll do it with you. I'll buddy up with you. And what was funny about that is I look back on that now and I'm like, that's insane to commit to that. But the thing that was fun for me about our friendship is you knew kind of the, I don't know whether it was ego or competitiveness, but you threw down the challenge. And so I got sucked right into it. And I will tell you that has had a massive impact.
Wonderful.
On my life. I can't say that I can rattle off all 60, although I spend a lot of time with them still today. You know, kind of when you cycle through the 60, they become pretty sticky to your brain, yeah. But you know, sometimes they slip out and then they come back. And so I spend time with that. But I want you to know what an impact that's had on me. And my mother's heard that story because she's like, what are you doing quoting all these Bible verses? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition. So I go
awesome.
Right in. To it, and she's
great.
Like, where did all that come from? I said, well, you can thank my friend Crispo.
Well, it's, you know, it is good, you know, to be able to have that kind of reservoir. I wouldn't just say knowledge, right? Because, you know, anybody can memorize anything, but it's really to be able to, you know, in time, I mean, we're married, we have children, you know, we're at a certain age that, you know, life has thrown us some curveballs mm-hmm. over time, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you're in that tough time of life, to not just be able to, you know, to recite something you've memorized, but to be able to tap into what does that really mean? Mm-hmm. What's behind that verse? Mm-hmm. And how can it really meet you when you're in a tough and vulnerable place in life? And so, you know, the Bible really is a, you know, it's a love letter that God has written to his children, and to not be able to tap in to what God wants to share with us is a shame. And so to be able to have that at your fingertips is great. So I'm awesome that you've kept with it.
Well, and I want to tell you what is so interesting about, so you and I do that in 2007. And, you know, our listeners have heard about this. And Chris, you know my story. But in 2009, I had really what ended up being kind of the great challenge of my life thrown at me, where I thought I was literally being buried alive in business. And I thought I was being just completely flushed down the toilet. And I thought it was over. And during those sleepless nights, during those times when you're wondering, okay, exactly how is this going to go? Or like, where does this lead? Or, you know, how do you file bankruptcy? And all these scary kind of things in your life. I can tell you that I went back to those verses that you challenged me on. And one in particular, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. I slept with that verse, and that verse was like a pillow to me. I didn't have to go refer to it over on the bedside too often. I just had it internalized. And so as the worries of the world came at me and I thought it was over, God just kind of gave me this little, hang in there, just hang in there. just hold on to my word, hang in there, it's going to be okay, hang in there. And I tell you, that verse, along with many others and all of God's word, has carried me a long way. And now I'm going to ask you, Chris, I'm not going to quiz you on the 60, but is there...
you were merciful, and I thought you were, I was afraid you were going to ask me what Isaiah 41:10
was. No. I do want to ask, though, is, you know, and it's not fair because... I bet you have sort of the same feeling I do. I mean, they're all precious in their way, but is there a go-to one, or is there one in the season right now? Is there one that pops to mind for you?
Well, I would probably say the most important, less a verse and more of a story, and gosh, I'm embarrassed, and if one of your listeners wants to correct me, I'm fine, but I believe it's Luke 16, where Jesus meets Zacchaeus, right? Mm-hmm. So Zacchaeus is a tax collector, you know, not liked at all, shunned by the community because he's doing a job that nobody likes, mm-hmm. right? And yet Zacchaeus has heard about this guy, Jesus, right? And there's this huge crowd, and Zacchaeus runs ahead and he, you know, shimmies up a sycamore tree. And so he's sitting in that tree because he's a short little guy, so he can get a kind of good view of Jesus and to kind of see what is going on here. And as Jesus is passing by, because Jesus has spidey sense that we all know, mm-hmm. and he looks up in the tree and he sees Zacchaeus, and he calls Zacchaeus down out of the tree, and he ends up having dinner with Zacchaeus, which, you know, is, you know, there's a lot of symbolism that's important there in that community. And so he sat with, you know, some of the most despised people and really invested his life. And so the reason why that has been important to me through the years is like if we're not living our faith out in community, right, with others and helping others, mm-hmm. And being available to others and being transparent about our own issues, about our own faults and about our own struggles, I just don't believe that God made us to be people not in community. Mm-hmm. He's made us to be people that can together, you know, accomplish great things that, you know, on our own would be far more difficult. So I just love that visual of Jesus going to kind of the farthest out, one of the most despised people in the community, and showing us the example of what it means to love others when sometimes, you know, other people are tough to love. And I know I'm probably tough to love for other people.
Well, and for oftentimes it's inconvenient, right, to stop for Zacchaeus.
Sure.
It's because we got to get it. It's, you know, Friday afternoon or Saturday morning. We got to get to where we're going. And so
for me, it's not even not where it's less about I need to get to where I'm going. It's just I know and I'm embarrassed and sad to say this. I am just inherently a selfish person. You know, I want what I want. And while that is a result, I think, of the fall, if that's all you do in life, you're setting yourself up for a pretty miserable existence, you know. In God's economy, you know, I didn't create it. I don't know the whys and the hows behind it. But in God's economy, people are happier when they're serving others. Mm. You know,
truth.
And you can certainly take that to, you know, an unhealthy degree. But, I believe that's, you know, we even like the eye of a dream, or I'm sure you may have shared with that on this program before. But you and I did that program. And while it was good and I think we helped some people, make no mistake about it. Gosh, I was enormously helped, right? You know,
yes.
Like, and I may have gotten more out of that program than any kid, you know, because that is the way that God has, you know, created us to kind of work in you know, to our best. You know,
I love it. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We have my friend Chris Poe on the program. Chris, we're winding down the show. Let me ask you this one. It's kind of one of my favorite questions. Somebody's listening to the show today, didn't plan on having this radio station being on. They had two guys, a couple of meatheads talking about the gospel, and you know, they don't yet have any faith going on in their life. What would you say to somebody who has never encountered Jesus, never made the decision to follow Jesus, and they're kind of searching, and they're trying to figure it out. What would you say to one of our listeners who's tuning in today and just wants to know, hey man, what do you think I should do?
Yeah, I would simply say, you know, I don't have any prescription for people like, hey, do this or do that, and everything will be better. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you're in your 30s or older, you know, you've probably lived long enough to know that the message that we consistently get in society, which is, you know, accumulate this and accomplish that, and, you know, have this kind of a house and do all these other things. Most people, unless you're like super young, realize, you know, that's just not the answer, right? Mm. So just as the disciples, when they were walking around and they encountered other people, they would simply say about Jesus, because their faith was so young and they had a hard time articulating kind of who this guy was, they would just simply say to people, come and see, you know, just come and see. Mm. And so whether that's, you know, going with a friend to a church service, or maybe seeking out a neighbor who you think may have some faith, you know, trying to seek out people who are living a genuine and authentic faith, because that's, you know, not everybody. And there's, you know, I would simply say that, you know, Jesus has a lot to offer. In my opinion, he's the crossroads of human history. And just, you know, check it out and come and see.
I love that message. Come and see. Chris Poe, awesome to have you on the show. Happy Father's Day to you. You have an awesome family. You've done a great job loving your wife and raising your children. Have an awesome family. So I hope you have a great Father's Day weekend.
Thanks, Jeff. Same to you.
I want to say to you, Chris, and your family, to all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. And again, if you need to check out any of our previous shows, just go to everydayfaithradio.com. We've got all our podcasts loaded. I hope you guys have a great weekend. It's awesome that you tuned in. It's Everyday Faith Radio. My friend Chris Poe, and to everybody else, have a great weekend.
Come restore and make us new. God, we need